know that I cannot do this life alone. But we all have a story when we've tried. We've tried and failed, but thank God for that day when I lifted my hands and surrendered. And there was a gracious God saying, I was waiting on you to do that. Now get up from that mess you in, boy. I have greater for your life. Amen. Been calling on his name ever since. Amen. Listen, we're going to get right into this word. But before we do, I want to honor our community leader who's come in to worship with us. We have the mayor of this magnificent city, the Honorable Mayor Bob Brown, in the house today. Can you give him a hand? Come on, we can do better than that. This is our city leadership. Amen. It's not even time to vote, and he coming to worship with us. Come on, give our mayor a hand. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Mayor, for coming and being with us on this occasion, on this worship moment. Amen. Are you ready to get into God's word? I'm going to let you up out of here. It won't take long because I know we all got to go set up for the Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't know, you Seattle Patriots, you know, I don't know what you're going, but some of it, I'm just trying to sit on the couch, you know, it don't matter to me. Before the game, over the game, might be watching you. But I'm going to get you up out of here because we're going to relax and we're going to enjoy this day God has given us. But I believe that there is a word that he wants to give you before we do. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Turn into your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. We're just going to look at verse 4 and 5. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. When you find it, out of the honor that we have for God's word, if you would just stand to your feet. Amen. That way I know you have it too. You ready to read? Say amen.
Amen.
Just two verses. And then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Set you apart. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. And then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Launching pad, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I would that you would pray with me this morning as I preach from the sermon topic, Life by Design. Life by design. While you're standing, pray with me. God, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in your word, the simplicity of your word. We thank you for the power of your word to transform, to set free, to deliver, to correct, to inspire, to empower. We thank you for your word today. Let your word go forth and accomplish that which you have called it to do. Hide this weak clay vessel behind the shadow of your cross, that only your word may go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and ask him this question. Are you living by God's design? Amen. I hope you're comfortable with your neighbor because you're going to talk to him this morning. Are you living by God's design? God has a design for your life. God has a structure for your life. God has a purpose for your life. At the end of the day, we have to realize that God is an engineer. For he created all that we see with our eyes. Amen. Created it. Amen. Your God is creative. Your God has ingenuity. And anything that a person creates, they do not create it without knowing why they're creating it. An engineer does not begin to build on a design and you ask them, what are they designing? What are they building? And they say, I don't know. I got to finish it. I'm just doing something. But they start with a blueprint. They start with a plan. They start with a design. And then they build this. They build the project according to the design and according to the purpose that it is set out to do. Your God is an engineer. And in the time when the people of Israel were in the state of rebellion against God, Israel had been split into two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been captured by the Assyrians, a foreign group of people. They had taken the northern tribes of Israel into bondage. And now the same fate awaited the southern kingdom from a power-hungry Babylonian king. In hopes to save the people of Israel, God chose a young man to be his political diplomat by the name of Jeremiah. With a message of repentance for his people, Jeremiah shrunk under the weight of the call. God had called him, as did Moses, as did Gideon. Jeremiah shrunk under the weight of the call. And for good reasons. For if we read on in the book of Jeremiah, we read that in chapter 20, he was beaten for prophesying God's word. We read on in chapter 37 that he was charged with treason, which is worthy of death in chapter 37. In chapter 38, he was imprisoned in a cistern. You remember he was thrown in a cistern to rot and left to rot and die. And even his own family despised him in chapter 12. There was much troubles, much trials that came with accepting this call that God had on Jeremiah's life. Nevertheless, Jeremiah rose to be victorious. Jeremiah rose to the occasion to do just what God had called him to do, which was speak his word to his people in a time of trouble. Everything God creates has this unique purpose to it. And when God got ready to call Jeremiah to his life assignment, to encourage Jeremiah, God said, Jeremiah, I want you to know I created you. Now, why is it important that God wanted Jeremiah to know that he created him to encourage him to accept his call? Because what God wanted Jeremiah to know was that his call was not an afterthought. But the assignment and the call on his life was all a part of God's design when he created him in his mother's womb. So I want to deal with this text piece by piece. For when we read the chapter 1, verse 5, God says, before I formed you, so I'm going to get to the form part in a minute, but God did something before he formed him. Before I formed you in the womb, God said, I knew you. So before you even had a shape, God knew you. Before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, you were a thought in the mind of God. The word knew is the same word that is used when the Bible says Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore a child. God knows you in an intimate way and with an eternal knowledge. He knows what you have done. He knows what you're going to do. And he knows what you are doing right now. But that does not hinder him from loving you wholeheartedly. God knows you through and through. I thought I knew me. I thought I knew there was everything to know about me. After all, I'm with me all day long. After all, I know my thoughts, I know my actions, I know my intentions. I thought that I knew me until I met my wife. But let me back up a little bit. I thought I knew me. I've taken the time to study me. I'm highly aware of myself and highly aware of my actions. I've taken the Myers-Briggs. I've taken the Berkman test. I've taken the DISC personality test. And on top of all of that, I have a wife who has a PhD in me. And sometimes at 12 o'clock while class is in session, I hear inspiring and sometimes rebuking lectures about me. And I pull out my pen and my pad and I take real good notes because I learn something new about me every day. She knows me through and through. She knows exactly what I want. She knows exactly what I like, and she knows how to give it. Because she knows me through and through. However, have you ever had a need that only God could meet? Because only God knew what you needed. Have you ever had an unexplained burning desire on the inside to do something, to be something, to build something, to share something, to start something, to change something, to produce something, but you didn't know what that something was? And for some reason, no matter what people told you, no matter what you did, it could not put a smile on your face because there was a burning desire on the inside to do something. There was a need, but you did not know how to meet it. And because people didn't know you had the need, they didn't know how to meet it either. Oh, but I wonder how many folk have a burning desire on the inside. There's a need that you have on the inside, and you don't know what it is. And you'll be surprised the people who live every day trying to put something in the place of that need to fulfill it. And we try all kinds of things. We try money to fulfill that need, but you can find folk who are at the top with millions of dollars, and they still say, "I feel unfulfilled." And we tried to fill it with busy careers, making sure that our schedules are jam-packed. But even after a long day of work, you still feel unfulfilled. That burning desire, that need is still there. Some people try to fill it in with sex. Come on, somebody. Somebody try to fill it in with mama's home cooking. But even after you eat and feel good, that need is still there. But it was not until you turned to Jesus that you discovered what you truly needed. Only God could supply. Why? Only God could supply it because God is the one that placed the need there in the first place. Only God can aim you toward your purpose. Only God can strengthen you to reach the goals that he has set for your life. Only God knows the deepest, most innermost needs of your life that you ultimately reach after, because we all have a need to fulfill our life-given purpose. But only God can fulfill that need because only God knows your purpose. I don't know why you are here today. Why your neighbors are here today, but I know that I'm here because I have needs. I'm here because I have needs, and these needs that we ultimately have, nothing material in the world can supply it. We have a need to fulfill that thing that God has placed on the inside of you. Did you know that when God created you, he placed a mission on the inside of you? He placed an assignment on the inside of you. He placed something on the inside of you for you to accomplish as you walk and live throughout this life. And the only one that can fulfill that need is God. It was St. Augustine who said our souls will never be at rest until we find our rest in him. We have a need, and God said, because I know you, I know exactly what you need. But it amazes me sometimes how we go and we look everywhere else in life to supply this inner need that we have except God. But how can the world give you what you need when they don't know what you really need? God said, I know you. And I know what you need. And he said, not only do I know you, he said, I know you because I formed you. Hallelujah. He said, I formed you while you were in your mother's womb. God wanted Jeremiah to know that his birth was planned. Most child psychologists have discovered that the blank slate theory is a myth. That we are not all born the same with empty minds as blank slates waiting to be written upon. Anyone with more than one child can tell you that that's a very much so a myth. You can have two parents who give birth to two children, two identical twins who are raised in the same household with the same principles and still turn out to be two completely different people who are... These two completely different people, because there is more to what determines your life besides your genes and your upbringing. You can have the same genes, you can have the same upbringing, but that does not mean that you will be the same person because God was involved in your design as well. In fact, God was ultimately responsible for your birth. It was not all because your mother and your father had a date night that you are here this morning. Luther Vandross and Teddy P are not responsible for everybody in this church today. Amen. Whew, you get it on the way home. God had his hands on the situation from the beginning. Because God said, I knew you before your shape was even formed, before your conception was even there. And when I begin to form you in your mother's womb, I begin to design you for the purpose and the mission that I had for you in this life. In spite of evolutionary theories of life that suggests that all life generated spontaneously, guided by random natural selection, implying that life is some sort of accident. The Bible declares that you were created by God with an intended purpose in mind. For Jeremiah 29:11 said, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, and these are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. I don't know about you, but I get excited to know that God has a plan for my life, that I'm not just here meandering around in life, that I'm not just here like a cork floating on top of a moving river, but God has a plan for my life to do something with me and to do something with you, but it's up to us to get in line with God's plan. See, your plan has already been, your life has already been planned, and your goals and the mission has already been set. You have a God-given purpose. You can choose your job, you can choose your spouse, you can choose where you want to live, but you cannot choose your purpose. For that's already been designed by the designer, and it's already been put inside of your DNA. The created cannot tell the creator what it's created for any more than a toaster can tell the manufacturer what it was made for. The information is only known by the designer. Now, if the toaster says it was created to open cans, it may be a noble idea, but it is not what the toaster was designed to do. Listen, you were created by God and for God. God's designed your life to mirror the life of Christ. God designed your life to mirror the life of Christ. Give me some Bible for that, preacher. All right, you asked for it. Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10, you are created by God and for God. that you may know the satisfaction of producing fruit in your life for God through the works that you have done. Therefore, Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for the good to those who have been called according to his purpose. We know that verse. We shout over that verse. But Romans 8 and 29a says, tells us, for whom God foreknew, he already knew you. He also predestined, he has a plan, he's already mapped it out, predestined to be conformed. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. God has a plan that you may, your life may resemble the life of Jesus Christ. It may resemble the victory that Jesus had. It may resemble the power that Jesus had. The relationship that Jesus had with the Father, your life is to resemble that. The victory he had over the enemy, the victory he had over the flesh, the victory he had over the world. Your life is to resemble that victory. More importantly, Jesus completed his assignment that he was sent here to do. That's why he hung his head before he died. He said, it is finished. The apostle Paul said, I have run my race and I have finish my course. I don't want to be laying on my deathbed with regrets and I wish I shoulda, coulda, wouldas laying down, but I want to say when I get ready to leave this life, I have finished my course. I have completed my assignment. God, I've done all that you have called me to do. I didn't let nobody get in my way. I didn't let the enemy come and stop me. I didn't let folk come and discourage me. I didn't let my flesh pull me back, but I completed what you birthed me out my mother's womb to do. I want to be able to say it is finished and close my eyes and open them up in glory and be in the presence of God. God created you for your life to resemble that of Jesus Christ. It is nothing short of a miracle in the making that God is conforming you and shaping your life so that it may resemble the life of Christ. Anybody in here can say that your life is an example of the life of Christ perfectly? Amen. That means that God is still forming us, that God is still shaping us. But isn't it a good thing to be in the hands of the potter? For when you're in the hands of the potter, the clay is being molded and God is molding your life. Okay, let me go. I may not be what I ought to be, but I can still celebrate that I'm not who I used to be. I may not have it all down together, but what I can say is that my life is in the potter's hand. Here it is. I may not have it all together right now, but there's some things that I got together today that I didn't have together yesterday because my life is in the hands of the potter and he is shaping me. Oh, it gets underneath my skin when folk walk around talking about ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. We all got issues. We all got trouble. Yeah, we're not all perfect, but don't ever say that as a crutch, because if you are really in the hands of God, you're not perfect, but you ought to be on your way. God ought to be changing you in such a way that the stuff you struggle with this week ought not be the same stuff you struggle with last week. The stuff you struggle with this month ought not be the stuff you struggle with last month. The stuff you go through, the victories you have today ought not be the losses that you had yesterday. There ought to be some progress to your life if God is forming you and conforming you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. But yet there is another force working against God's plan to make you like Christ. There's always something going against God's plan. Because if it wasn't anything going against God's plan, we'd all be sitting here like Christ today. But we're not. We're on our way, but we're not. But why? Because something is pulling against God's plan to conform us like Christ. Here it is. Give me some Bible for that, preacher. Here it is. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not be conformed. Okay, something else is conforming to this world. Okay, so this world has a tendency to conform us to its anti-God patterns and practices and deeds, But God is working to, by the Holy Spirit, to conform us to the image of his son. But the world is conforming us into its patterns and into its likeness and into its anti-God customs and culture. So there is a tension going on. So the tension calls for everyone, every person to make a decision. You got to make up in your mind, do I want to follow the patterns and the ways of the world that are contrary to Christ and be who culture wants me to be? Or do I surrender to God and be who Christ would have me to be? Everybody got to make that decision. Because you can always tell who's being conformed by the world and who's being conformed by God. It amazes me how many people who do not know their designer, they do not know their design, and so they're being conformed by the world to be what God never intended for them to be. You got young men walking down the street trying to be something that God never intended for them to be. Trying to be a thug and trying to have drugs in their pockets and weapons tucked into their waistband and trying to be something that they saw on TV, trying to be something they saw in a movie, trying to be something that they heard of, but not knowing that that is not their design, that they were not designed to be a thug, but they were designed to be a king's kid. Okay, let me go a little bit deeper and I'm going to get out of here. It's going to be tight for a little bit. But you got some young women, you got some women who do not know their design and they're being conformed by the world. They use their body twerking it on the floor somewhere because they don't understand what their body was designed to do. And so culture has gotten them doing all kind of crazy stuff, going up and down on a pole in a club somewhere because they don't know that you are not designed to be a thing, but you were designed to be a daughter of the Most High God. You are a princess and you are royalty, and God has called you to be greater than the curves on your waist. But if you don't know your designer, you won't know your design, and if you don't know your design, you don't know how you should function. Let me go a little bit deeper. Some of y'all lost. Let me go a little bit deeper. Okay, let me go into your house. Let me go into your living room. Some of you got some equipment in your living room. It's designed for isometric aerobic activity. It's designed to be worked on. But if I go into your living room, your spare bedroom, it's holding all kind of drapes and hats and scarves and ties, and it's become your second closet. But it was designed for isometric aerobic activity. But we're using it for something else. And whenever you forget what a thing was designed for, you start using it for a function that it was never meant to have. And when you don't know what you were designed to do, you start functioning in a way that you would never intend to function. You start doing stuff with your body and functioning in the way that it was never intended to function because you fail to realize that you were designed by God with a purpose by God for God. So you can't get the function right until you get the design right. Oh my God, I'm preaching, but I'm going to let y'all up out of here in just a minute. So he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I begin to press in on you. My fingerprints are all over your life because I'm constantly forming you to take on the shape of my son, Jesus Christ. And we as believers must make up in our minds that I want to be who God has called me to be. I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to go where God has called me to go. God is not looking for people who have a lot of ability. God is looking for some people who have surrendered to what God has and wants for their life. These marks, these fingerprints of God's design on your life are there. It's interesting to me that every infant, every child that is born, these babies at birth have certain unexplained, unlearned, innate reflex responses. I'm going to put my theological interpretation on the on this phenomenon, and I'm going to say that these are the fingerprints of God's design that He has on your life. One of the interesting reflex that every infant is born with, it says they have this stepping reflex. Everybody say stepping. A stepping reflex. This reflex response is called a stepping reflex because though the infant, this young, cannot support their own weight, they cannot even support their own weight, but if you support them while placing them on their feet on a flat surface, they will begin to put one foot in front of the other. No one has taught them how to walk. They haven't even begun crawling yet. They can't even hold their neck up by laying on their back. But if you hold them up and put them on a flat surface, they will begin to put one foot. Oh, here we go. I'm going to get out of here in just a minute. One foot in front of the other. When you were an infant, you tried to walk even before you had the strength to hold yourself up. Somewhere on the inside of you is the God-given tenacity to put go beyond your own limitations. God has created you. That's why the Bible said we walk by and not by. Because on the inside of you, there's this God-given tenacity to walk beyond what you're able to see, to go beyond what you already have, to go beyond what you believe you are able to do the exceedingly impossible. It's not about what you can do. It's about what you're willing to do. Too many times we write ourselves off and don't give God a chance to use us because we think we can't do it and we don't feel qualified or we are afraid because we have never done it before. So many times we lose our inspiration to do something for the Lord because we pull out our measuring tape and begin to measure ourselves to other people. And say, God, you've chosen the wrong one. Maybe you can get them. Maybe they can do it better than I can. I can't do this and I can't do that. But God said, I've chosen you. I've selected you. And if you put down your measuring tape just for a moment and at least start putting one foot in front of the other, you'll be surprised what God can do with your life. But God said, I am not looking for qualified. I'm looking for willing. I'm looking for those who are willing to put one foot in front of the other. I'm looking for those who have fallen before, who have been knocked down before, who have been ran over before, but are willing to get back up again. God says, I'm looking for someone who's willing to go further than where they are right now. I'm looking for someone to trust me to do more than what they have done in the past. Yeah, I can't do this and I can't do that, but God said, all I need is someone who says, who has just enough faith to believe that I'm able to do it. And if you got enough faith to believe it, what did Jesus always say when somebody came up to him, when a blind person came up to him or a sick person came up to him? He would ask him, do you believe that I'm able to make you whole? Do you believe that I'm able to bring your sight? Do you believe that I'm able to heal your daughter? And they would say, yes, Lord, I believe. And then Jesus would move. All he's looking for is someone who has this stepping reflex, who has the ability to step forward and to believe God to do what seemingly is impossible. And number two is this other reflex that we are born with called the palmer's grip reflex. This reflex occurs if you place a finger on the inside of an infant's palm and the hand will close up tight. Nobody has a grip like an infant grip. They say that if you put two fingers in each palm, the infant will grip your hand so tight that it is able to even hold up its own body weight by holding on simply to your fingers.
Trying to remove your finger causes the grip to tighten. Newborn infants have a strong grip. This grip is so strong that it can hold them up. You were born with the God-given ability to hold on. I don't know who I'm talking to here today up in the house of God, but there are some folk here today, and you done been through hell and high water. It seemed like you done been through every trial. The enemy has run out of arrows in his quiver because he shot them all in your direction. It seemed like the devil don't have nobody address but yours, and he keep knocking on your door. It seemed like you done been through every down that you can be down on. You've seen every valley that there is, but God said, don't quit, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. Because I did not create you to quit. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your vision. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on what he's able to do in your life. Preacher, how can I hold on after I've been through all of this stuff I've been through? I feel like doing what Job's wife said, just cursing God and rolling over and dying. But God said, I didn't create you to roll over and die. I created you to hold on just for a little while longer. I created you with the tenacity, nasty, with the perseverance to hold on to what I've given you. And if God has given you anything, you better hold on to it. I found out that the enemy, the Bible calls him, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a burglar on the loose, and he's coming to steal what God has given you. He's coming to steal your faith. He's coming to steal your joy. But the devil is a lie. What God has given you, baby, you better hold on to it and don't let it go. That's why I made up in my mind that I'm going to have a smile on my face regardless of what my day looked like, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm not going to let the devil steal my smile. I'm not going to let him steal my joy. I'm not going to let him steal my shout. I'm not going to let him steal my jump. I'm not going to let him steal my vision, because God designed me to be able to hold on. I don't know who that one was for today, but God told me to tell somebody up in this sanctified church that you need to hold on just for a little while longer, because your blessing is right around the corner. Your breakthrough is right around the corner. God is going to work it out. It's right around the corner. Your answered prayer is right around the corner. Your next level is right around the corner. What God is going to do in your life is right around the corner. That's why he's been hitting you with everything that he has, because he knows that it's right around the corner. But if you just keep holding on, listen, God wouldn't have designed you to hold on if he knew that this life wasn't going to bring you challenges. That's why the writer said, be not weary in well doing. But if you... Oh, I got a church in there. I got a halfway church up in here today. It said, but if you hold on, you shall reap, but you can't faint. You can't quit. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here today. Hallelujah. Hold on just for a little while longer. Listen, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. I got this last one. Listen, God designed you. God designed you to step beyond your limitation. God designed you to hold on and to persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. I don't care what the situation looked like. Hold on. God is an on-time God. God is a God. Oh, he's a way maker out of no way. God will show up just when you thought he done forgot about you. He'll show up when you done had your mind on something else. Oh, help me up in here. The third one is, the third reflex is called the moral reflex. The moral reflex. You know, when they design cars, they put bumpers on the cars. Amen. They put bumpers on the cars because, not because they are attractive. Amen. The bumper is probably the least attractive part of your vehicle. They put bumpers on the car not because it's attractive, not because bumpers help cars sail. They put bumpers on cars because they know that if you drive the car, there's a chance that the car might crash. And so the designer put something in place that I'm going to put a bumper on your car, so if your car crashes, it'll protect the internal mechanisms of the car and, more importantly, the passengers of the car. So the designer said, I got to make this thing safe enough and design it for the trials that come ahead. Help me up in here. I'm about to preach up in here. The moral reflex. Anytime you grab an infant and a child, if you grab them and the child feels as if their support has been lost, if a child feels that no one is holding him and you drop them real quick in your arm, one thing that every child will do is throw their hands out like that. They'll throw their hands out and try to grab some support. They'll throw their hands out when they feel that they've come to a crisis, when they feel that they lost support, when they feel like they're getting ready to fall. They'll throw their hands out even when they don't have nothing to grab on to. We're going to get out of here and go watch the Super Bowl. See, God created you to worship him. God created you that whenever you feel like you're getting ready to fall, whenever you feel like you done lost all your support, when friends don't want to answer your phone call no more, when you can't get a hold of nobody at the church, when everybody talking down on you and talking about you instead of lifting you up, God said, I created you to be able to come to me and just throw your hands up. I created you to throw your hands up. Listen, it might not look pretty, but it wasn't designed to look pretty. People might not smile at you and say you look good. Your mascara might run. Your three-piece suit might get crinkled. But listen, it wasn't designed to look pretty. It was designed for when you crash in this life. It was designed when you run into a trial that you can't get yourself out of. All you got to do is throw your hands up and worship the Almighty God. Listen, you were created to worship God. David said, I will bless the name of the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why do I worship God the way I worship him? Why? Because I was created to worship. My hands were created to come together and to give the Lord praise. My foot was created to stomp the floor and give God praise. My lungs was created to blow out the wind to shout hallelujah to the highest praise. You were created to worship. You were designed to worship. Because let me tell you something. When the enemy sets the traps up against you, as long as you get all frustrated and get all mad and get the throwing stuff around and get the calling folk name and get the using all kind of language, listen, he got you. He got you. Because what he got you to do is come out of your original design. You wasn't designed to talk like that. You wasn't designed to throw a fit like that. You wasn't designed to get in the car and ride down the road and go do something. You wasn't designed to drown yourself like a fish at the end of the bottle. The enemy trying to get you to come out of your original design. But when the enemy presses your back up against the wall and it feel like you have nowhere else to go, if you would just throw your hands up. Listen, I wish I had somebody that know God can, when you throw your hands up to worship, when you throw your hands up to worship, all of a sudden, all the things that the enemy was trying to do with your mind, all of a sudden, all the attacks that the enemy had against you, all of a sudden, all the anger you may have been feeling on the inside, but when you throw your hands up, it seems like everything just gets back in place. Oh, it's like there's a force field that comes around you and all the angels of heaven come down and say, get your hands off my daughter. Get your hands off my son. It says there's something happens when you go back to your original design. All you got to do is listen. Out of the mouths of babes, worship has been perfected. God said, I didn't design you to try to fix it and do it yourself. When you feel like you've lost your support and you feel like you're in a free fall going down the drain, just throw your hands up. Would somebody just throw your hands up in the place today? Would somebody just throw your hands up? Listen, folk will look at you strange, say it don't take all of that. But listen, you were designed to be more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror, because there's enemies and oppositions and trials out there to get you. But when you throw your hands up, you get yourself back in line with God's vision, with God's purpose, with God's will for your life. I'm not going to let you pull me outside of my character. I'm not going to let you make me act a fool up in here. But I'm going to throw my hands up and I'm going to let God deal with it. I'm going to let God deal with you. Because I wasn't designed to fight these battles, but I know somebody who was. I know somebody who can fight these battles. Listen, you were designed to be like Christ. You were designed to be like Christ. More than a conqueror, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You wasn't designed to be walking around with your head hanging down low. Can't even put a smile on your face. Walking around depressed, watching TV 40 hours a week. Going to work 40 hours a week. Sitting around just doing nothing. You wasn't designed to be a couch potato. You wasn't designed to be a pushover. You wasn't designed to just sit up and let your life waste away. God created you for greater than that. God created you for more than that. God created you for works and wonders. God created you to be his co-partner in the restoration of this world. On your feet all over the building. Life by God's design. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way. Life by God's design. Stay in line with God's design. Because he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you were born to do. If you just stay in line with God's design, stay in his presence, and he will manifest everything that he formed you to do. It'll come forth. Just stay in line with God's design. Intercessors, if you would come at this time.